Hi, Rebels. This Financial Literacy Month, Rebel Girls teamed up with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families, to bring you everything you need to be smart with your money and build healthy habits that last a lifetime. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to make smart choices with every penny, whether you're saving for something special or learning to invest. Greenlight gives kids the power to be independent, and grown-ups can trust that their kids have money wherever they are. Sign up at greenlight.com/rebelgirls to get your first month at no cost and start building money confidence for life.
Once upon a time, in Damascus, Syria, there was a swimmer called Yusra. Yusra hadn't always been a swimmer. When she was little, she was too scared to get in the pool. While the other kids swam, she'd stand at the edge of the deep end, staring into the water. She could barely see the bottom. And when she thought about plunging in head first, her heart beat a little faster. But the pool didn't just scare her. It excited her, too. So little by little, she braved the water. She dipped her toes, tried staying afloat, and plunged her head underwater for just a second. And eventually, she was swimming. Not just swimming, but swimming competitively. Her dad trained her and her older sister, and she was winning competitions left and right. She could barely remember what it felt like to be scared of the water. Now the pool was her favorite place, because swimming made Yusra feel like she'd been transported to a different world. When she dove in, all the noise around her disappeared. And as she swam, pushing herself to go faster, always faster, all she could hear was her heartbeat and the water. Swimming made her problems disappear. But when she was 13, Yusra had problems that swimming couldn't solve. Her country was at war. I'm Diana Nyad, and this is Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls, a fairy tale podcast about the extraordinary women who inspire us. This week, Yusra Mardini. Many Syrians wanted their government to be a democracy, but the country's president, Assad, didn't. So there were huge protests. People gathered in the streets and they spoke their minds, and the government shot them. Brave people protested more, and the violence got worse. By the time Yusra was 13, the conflict between the protesters and the government had turned into a full-blown civil war. Rebel groups formed around the country and battled the government for control of cities. Yusra and her family, her mom, dad, and two sisters, heard more bad news every day. People were dying, not just rebel fighters or government soldiers, but regular people too. For the first year, they were safe in the suburbs of Damascus, the capital of Syria. But eventually, the fighting reached the outskirts of the city. Yusra and her neighbors could hear machine guns and explosives in the distance. After just a few more months, the war had reached the middle of Damascus. One day, Yusra and her father were walking to the gym so that she could train in the pool there. When they reached the building, they could see that the roof had huge, gaping holes in it. Rubble and dust had fallen in her pool. Yusra's training center had been bombed. She had no place to swim anymore. And soon, there were few safe neighborhoods in the city. Bullets and shrapnel shells flew through the streets at all hours of the day, and massive military tanks rolled through residential neighborhoods. Yusra and her family lived in constant fear. At 14, Yusra saw just one way out. They had to leave. It was dangerous, but so was staying. And what kind of life did they have here as they watched their city be destroyed? Yusra begged her parents to make the trip to Europe, but they told her no. It was too dangerous for all five of them to go, especially with her little sister, Shahed, who was just a toddler. It was too risky. They'd have to wait. Then, the bombings reached their neighborhood, and their house was destroyed. No one was home when it happened, so everyone was safe. But they'd lost everything. Yusra's mother came to her with a plan. Tears rolled down her cheeks as she spoke. Two of Yusra's cousins were planning to make the long, dangerous trip to Europe, and they had offered to take Yusra and her older sister Sarah with them. It was unclear when her parents and the rest of the family would join them. But for now, the girls would get out. The journey was dangerous, but staying in Damascus had become even more terrifying. The plan was to go to Berlin, Germany, where many other Syrian immigrants had fled. Maybe they could find a welcoming community there. And Yusra hoped maybe she could swim again. She'd heard they had good swimmers in Germany. The day she left, Yusra hugged her parents and younger sister goodbye, choking back tears. She left Damascus with almost nothing, a cell phone, some clothes, and cash to pay the smugglers that would help her and Sarah sneak across borders, because in many of the neighboring countries, Syrian refugees were not welcome. They set off with their cousins and a group of other refugees. First, they flew to Beirut in Lebanon, and then to Istanbul, Turkey. Every step of the way, they were terrified of being caught by the police, who would surely send them back to Syria. From Istanbul, they made their way south to the part of the Turkish coast closest to a Greek island called Lesbos. There, they met up with the smugglers who had agreed to help them in exchange for money. They were about to embark on the most dangerous leg of their journey, by boat. Yusra and Sarah hid with the group in the woods by the beach. They were waiting for the right moment when the smugglers thought it was safe to make a move. They needed calm waters and to avoid the Turkish coast guard. Finally, it was time. The smugglers loaded them onto the tiny boat at the dock and pushed them out to sea, the little motor whirring. But almost as soon as they'd set off, they were spotted by Turkish coast guards who forced them back to shore. Yusra got a nervous feeling in her stomach, like butterflies, but not the good kind. This was going to be harder than they thought.
Listen, we've all had our embarrassing BO moments, am I right? I once made my friend's Pearl Jam t-shirt stink so badly that she blamed me for the band breaking up. But fear not. Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is making sure that none of us have to worry about BO ever again. Unlike many other deodorants, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a whole new way. Lumi delivers 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet, and yeah, that includes your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. As a special offer, new customers get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with code REBELGIRLS at LumiDeodorant.com. I kid you not, the Lavender Sage Cream Tube is definitely on my list of things I must have if I'm stranded on a deserted island. Smell for yourself. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code REBELGIRLS at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code REBELGIRLS. So lift those pits and stay rebel.
They decided to try again as soon as the sun had gone down. Now, with the cover of darkness, they might just have a shot. The drone of the engine forced them all into silence. And slowly, the coast behind them started to shrink. The trees they'd hidden in for days got shorter and shorter as they sped away out into the Mediterranean Sea. But then, 20 minutes after they'd left the coast, the engine shifted a pitch higher, like it was working too hard. And then it sputtered, going slower and slower, until it stopped. The motor was broken. And while they tried to fix it, water was slowly creeping into the boat. See, the tiny dinghy was only meant to hold 6 people. But the smugglers had crammed in 20, and most of them didn't know how to swim. Frantic, they started splashing water out of the boat and doing everything they could to make it lighter. They threw their bags and any belongings they brought with them from Syria into the water, trying desperately to keep the boat from sinking. But none of it helped. The water was at Yusra's ankles now, and she knew she had to do something. She thought to herself, it would be a shame for us to drown here when I'm a strong swimmer. She looked at Sarah, and they both knew what they had to do. They jumped into the cold water with 2 other people. Out of the 20 on the boat, only 4 could swim. Yusra went in front of the boat so she could pull it with a rope. She used her other hand and her feet to swim. 5 minutes passed, and then 20. Yusra's eyes burned from the salty water. The boat was heavy. With 16 people on board and only 4 of them swimming and pulling, the struggle was immense. They'd been swimming for a full hour, inching toward the Greek island of Lesbos, so slowly that it was hard to tell if they were getting closer or not. Yusra's legs grew tired, but she knew she couldn't stop kicking. Her flip-flops slipped off her feet and floated away. Any concern for her clothes, all she had now, was gone. Her sole focus was to get everyone to shore alive. She wrapped her hand tighter around the rope and kept swimming. They pushed and pulled and pulled and pushed. Yusra was so tired she didn't know if she could keep going. Would they die here? Would they ever see their parents and little sister again? Yusra wanted to cry, but she couldn't, because when she looked up at the boat, she saw that one of the boys in the group was watching her swim. He was just 6 years old, not much older than Yusra's little sister. So Yusra forced a smile, and she tried to make him laugh. She didn't want him to think they were going to die here, even if they might. Now her hand was raw from holding the rope, and her feet were numb from the cold water. Her eyes still burned, and her mouth was chapped by the salt, but she kept swimming. And then, Yusra was sure she wasn't imagining it this time. The shore was getting closer. They were going to make it. Yusra, Sarah, and the other 2 swimmers dragged the boat onto the shore and collapsed onto the ground. They'd swum for 3.5 hours. They'd saved themselves and 16 other refugees. They'd made it. Now they just had to get to Berlin. They traveled north from country to country, crossing borders however they could. After trekking through Serbia, They hid for hours in a cornfield, waiting for the right moment to sneak across to Hungary. Finally, in the middle of the night, they made a run for it. Not long after they crossed the border, the Hungarian police caught them and took them to a refugee camp. On the way, Yusra and Sarah looked at each other and they started laughing. When the police demanded to know what was so funny, the girls just laughed harder. Yusra thought to herself, "We were going to die in the sea, and now you think we should be afraid of you?" Of course, once they got to the refugee camp, they ran away the first chance they got. These girls were not to be stopped. They hadn't yet reached their final destination. After a month-long trip across 9 countries, Yusra was in Berlin. Things were far from perfect. She slept on the ground in a refugee camp for months after she got there. But she was safe. And she'd heard about a swimming club. Wasserfreunde Spandau 4 was one of the best places for young swimmers to train in Berlin. Yusra decided to try out for the team. It had been 2 years since she'd been in training, so she was out of shape, but the coach could tell she was good. She had great technique, but more important than that, he could see that she loved to swim. Yusra threw herself into training. She'd wake up at 6 in the morning so that she could swim before school, and then head straight back to the pool once her classes let out. Her times were improving fast, and people were starting to notice. Her coach hoped she would compete in the Olympics in 2020, but she would become an Olympian much sooner than that. In 2016, the Olympics created the first refugee Olympic team, and they asked Yusra to be a member. She was one of 10 athletes from around the world that would compete at the Olympics as refugees. After fleeing Syria and enduring the treacherous escape to Germany, she was still considered a refugee, a girl without a home country. But now, she was a proud Olympian. Yusra raced in the 100-meter butterfly. She was the only member of the refugee team in her preliminary heat. And she won. She didn't medal at the 2016 Olympics, but she has her sights set on gold in 2020. She still lives and trains in Berlin, where her parents and little sister live now, too. She says she doesn't care what country she swims for, Syria or Germany. None of that matters in the water. What matters is making all the refugees watching proud. She wants everyone watching to know that even without a country, you are someone. Someone worthy of being considered the best in the world.
I'm Safi from Abu Dhabi.
I'm Harper Joe from Los Angeles.
Today's episode was hosted by Diana Nyad, who made history in 2013 when she became the only human ever to swim from Cuba to Florida,
a distance of 110.86 miles. Her memoir, Find a Way, is an inspiration to millions around the world. This podcast is produced by Elena Favilli and Francesca Cavallo,
with writing and operations support by Alyssa Dudley and Darby Maloney.
Sound design and original theme music are by Electra Barjacki.
This show is sponsored by the New York Times bestselling book series Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls. Did you know Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls 2 just came out? Go to rebelgirls.co and use promo code REBELPODCAST to get your copy with a 15% discount.
If you liked this episode, please share it on Facebook, share it on Twitter, share it everywhere. And please review it on Apple Podcasts.
Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls is a production of Timbuktu. Today's host, Diana Nyad, lent her voice to benefit foster care centers in Los Angeles, where Timbuktu has donated 100 copies of the Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls books in her name.
Until next time, stay tuned and stay rebel.
Can't get enough of Rebel Girls?
Well, luckily, the Rebel Girls app is now completely free. That's right. You can listen to the entire library of goodnight stories for Rebel Girls ad-free. Plus, check out the app's cool features, like activities, trivia, custom playlists, and more. All parent-trusted and kids-safe. Find out more at rebelgirls.com/audio and download the Rebel Girls app today. Thanks for listening.